This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are listening to a special edition iFanboy podcast on X-Men Origins Wolverine. Welcome to a special edition iFanboy podcast on X-Men Origins Wolverine. We are iFanboy, and normally we do the Pick of the Week podcast, but today we're talking about the new film. I'm Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Heyo.
And Josh Flanagan.
Hello. How are you?
So this weekend saw the premiere of X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is the prequel to the X-Men series of films that have come out from 20th Century Fox for the last 9 years now.
Jeez. Wow. So
the films that have kicked off the whole superhero renaissance on film, I would say. So this is the prequel featuring the most popular character of all, Wolverine, and much anticipated. This has been talked about for a while. Ever since, I think, the first film, they talked about doing a spin-off Wolverine film because Hugh Jackman was so popular. So this is 9 years coming, and it's out. So what do we think? I know what Josh thinks because we saw it together, but I'm curious, Ron, what did you think?
Well, and I guess, me being the big X-Men purist and stuff like that, and after getting burned pretty hard in X3, I guess I've got the most to lose or to gain by this movie. But, ultimately it's what I would expect of a Wolverine movie, and it really felt like maybe a 90s comic personified, like brought to life. Like it wasn't bad. Like here's the thing, we've seen a lot of bad comic book movies. I mean, Connor, we sat through Ghost Rider. Yep. I mean, like there have been a lot of bad comic movies. This isn't, I don't think this is a bad comic book movie, but I don't think this is the greatest comic book movie ever, if that makes any sense. I give it like a solid B minus, you know.
Well, I think it's slightly generous, but I would say it's not bad in the level of Punisher, Ghost Rider, or
right, exactly. Yeah.
But it's also not very good.
Oh, it's no X2. It's nothing compared to X2.
Well, I don't think it's even average. I think I'd put this with the Fantastic Four films. You know, I think I'd put that in that sort of mid range.
And I would
very average.
And I would give it a slight edge because, I mean, I'll admit, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I got a little, you know, little giggle going on when Gambit was on and Deadpool and all, you know, and like all these kind of things, like just from the years of reading those characters. And I mean, and for what it's worth, I mean, that was Gambit throwing kinetically charged playing cards on the screen. I mean, that was something that, you know, I never thought would ever happen. So
if you're into that kind of thing.
Right, exactly. But that's why I think it's a little better than Fantastic Four, but it was definitely not, you know, this is not what I would point to as the, you know, the shining example of what we're capable of.
No.
But
it was a movie that if you thought for any one moment too hard about what you were watching, it would all fall. It all fell apart.
Yeah, like, it was very, very surface. It was very light.
It didn't. Yeah. No scrutiny was held to this film, and it didn't make a lot of sense logically. There was a lot of plot holes. A lot of things that you thought about from any moment was just like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. But you had to. I mean, that was just the whole film like that.
Well, one of the reasons why I thought it felt to me like a 90s comic was because I felt as if, you know, pretty much every scene culminated in a fight, whether one was needed or not.
It was very much the product of, well, let's give a certain kind of fan what they want.
Right.
And those people seem to have been very happy with it, you know? There was lots of fighting.
Right, yeah, exactly. There was lots of action. There was a lot of fighting. There was not a lot of, like you said, there was not a lot of depth. There was not a lot of, you know, like it was. And honestly, like, I if anything, walking away, talking story-wise, I walked away a little. I mean, like, as a comic book reader and as an X-Men fan and as a Wolverine fan, I felt a little less enthused about the character ever since Origin came out. And mm-hmm. I really felt the same way walking out of this. I was like, oh, well, no, okay. You know, like, I really feel as if they took little bits and pieces from the comics of what they thought was cool, and they pieced them all together without going into deeply any of them. You know?
Josh?
Yeah. I would go with the C-minus route.
Okay.
I thought it was just exceedingly average, bad at points, kind of cool at points, but, like, I mean, what Connor said is dead on. Like, the second that you try to apply any critical measures to it, it falls apart completely. I don't know. It was just a your analogy of a 90s comic is incredibly apt, and I think it's interesting that you have a 90s Marvel comic.
Right, yes, yeah. Or I'd say Image, too.
Image, too, say whatever. It's really kind of two sides of the same coin.
Speaking of which, have you been reading Rob Liefeld's Twitter?
No.
He loved it. Sorry, anyway, because he's cashing in these checks.
Yeah, no, well, it's funny because the moment that they said Wade Wilson, I thought, Rob Liefeld just made money.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
The guy who came up with Deadshot, or not Deadshot, Slade Wilson is, who's he? I don't know. He didn't get anything for it.
Deathstroke the Terminator?
Yeah, him, sorry. Because Wade Wilson's like,
right,
anyway. Because I was, anyway.
90s comic.
Yeah, 90s comic. And I don't, it, like, there was, it was so chock full of action movie and comic book cliches. Like, literally, like, how many times, maybe it was only once, I guess, but, like, it so stood out, like the girl dies and he, like, looks up in the air, no! And I was like, really?
No, that happened three times.
Okay, good. I wasn't making that up. I didn't want to act like, oh, it kept happening and then find it was only once. But either way, like,
it happened and it happened again in a flashback.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
Right.
You can't do that anymore and try to get away with it seriously. And if they had, I mean, if they had sort of gone over the edge a little bit and tried to be silly about it, then I guess you can do it. But otherwise, if you're trying to be serious, that's pretty rough. I'll tell you, there was things that I thought were kind of cool.
Let's talk about the good things then, because we like to be somewhat positive. I think, you know, Hugh Jackman is always good as Wolverine.
Yep.
He is Wolverine.
He is Wolverine to me, even though he's tall and yada yada. I mean, he is personifying Wolverine perfectly.
Like, true, and given the script, he can be very good at that role.
Yeah,
and you know, he's hard not to, you like him. He's charming. He's good on the screen. So when he's on, it wasn't, you know, that's not terrible when your lead is really good.
Yeah,
that's a really good point.
Yeah.
I don't think he was especially good. But I think, and it's hard to tell if it's him or the material or the combination of all those things. But I tended to not roll my eyes at him, so I guess that's a good thing.
Yep.
I think
Liev Schreiber was great in his very limited role as Sabretooth or as Victor.
Victor Creed. I thought he was good with the I love Liev Schreiber. I love anything he does, with the exception of the on all fours galloping thing, which I hate. But anyway, that's any character. I hate when they do that. But
it's funny though. Like, I wouldn't have picked him for that role. I would have never thought of him as to do that. He did a pretty good job again, but with no real material to work with.
Right.
Well, that's the thing we'll get to in a minute. The fact that nobody else but Wolverine had anything to do in the movie.
Yeah.
I think that the surprising bits for me that the 14 seconds that Ryan Reynolds got to be Wade Wilson, I was like, wow, he's really interesting and good. Same could be said. I actually liked the Gambit in this. I thought that they didn't put him in a dumb uniform. They didn't have him do some silly over the top accent that would have really made it bad. And it was kind of cool. Like, it worked.
I liked Gambit too, although I admit to giggling when Wolverine elbowed him in the face and he dropped.
Yeah, well, yeah. That was funny.
Well, my inner Gambit hate giggled, but still, yeah. I thought he was good, and I thought Wade Wilson, he was good as Deadpool when he was Deadpool in the beginning.
Yep.
But again, that leads to the fact that none of these side characters had anything really to do with the film.
Right, yeah.
They were just there for fan service. Well, they didn't have anything to do with... I mean, they'd show up for 10-15 seconds and then drop out of the film again.
I mean, I know we want to stay focused on what was good, and I think you guys pretty much just got it. I mean, I think that was really it. I mean, I like the opening montage of, Wolverine.
Oh, I like that too a lot.
Yeah,
I like
through the ages, through the time and everything.
Well, I like the idea of it, but in practice, we'll get to that.
Yeah. But I liked finally seeing the whole Weapon X process, but again, it was like I felt like they were just on fast forward for the story to get to the action scenes, where like so much could have been done, so much could have been milked with the whole Weapon X thing and all that kind of stuff. And the team X or whatever, the team that Stryker put together, like Wolverine never did anything in any of those scenes. All he did was tell Victor to stop.
True.
Yeah.
But. And it's funny because he's like, I'm the best I am at what I do. Well, actually, you're not. Victor's better at it than you are.
I did. There was an audible giggle in the crowd when he said that, when he delivered that line. So
that was a bad delivery of that line.
Yeah, he blew that line.
Yeah, delivery. It really was. Yeah. But there was an audible giggle. I mean, people connected with it. So.
Oh, I don't think it was that kind of giggle. I don't. And I was like, oh, that you did it like that?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, but again, that's so. It's however you read it in your head for all these years. So who's to say he's wrong? But that's not how I would have done it.
Right. I did laugh when they came looking for Wolverine when he was a lumberjack, and Agent Zero was like, "What do you make, 18?" He's like, 18.5. I was just like, "What an odd point of argument."
It was about being happy with what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just seemed like it would have benefited from having a much tighter focus. And it was it was trying to be so sweeping and all over the place that you really got no chance to become invested in anything.
And
you had odd moments like the Mom Pa Kent of Canada, and just weird.
That was so weird. The Canadian Mom Pa Kent. That was just like, I don't know. That was just very bizarre. But it was almost like they got handed a checklist. And it was like, okay, well, get Wolverine running his claws along the pavement like Ultimate X-Men, and do this. And it felt like they were just like trying to appease whatever shots or images or moments that they wanted, and they didn't worry about the in between or the stitching in between, the story in between.
And those kind of things in some movies that I really, really appreciate when you talk about like why things are happening and how things work, and you sort of make it real, like. You talk about the Batman movies, like Chris Nolan made a real effort to make sure everything in it was explainable to an extent.
Yep.
Like, here's why this Batman piece of armor works, even though it seems sort of silly, or here's why it is. And the Wolverine was, just don't think about it.
Yeah.
And this is a taste thing. Some people don't want to think about it. I can fully acknowledge that. But for me, I was like, it doesn't make sense, though. Why? Okay, we're just moving along. But, there's a lot of examples of that.
So can we get to the bad, or?
Oh, I think
sure. Go for
okay,
it.
Okay, I think the bad is culminated totally in two words: adamantium bullet.
Like adamantium bullet. Okay.
Like
Wait. Now on that same thing. Now there's two reveals in this, and this is what like a bad scripting moment for me was. He said adamantium bullet, and they went away from it. And then, like 10 or 20 minutes later, they came back, and he said adamantium bullet. And then one of the other characters goes, "That won't kill him."
Yeah,
I was like, "Well, you can't do two reveals of this and then contradict yourself."
I know. And like,
say that won't kill him the first time.
The whole fact that his entire memory loss is derived from getting shot in the head with two adamantium bullets, it was just like completely deflated the whole X-Men 1 for me.
I do think on concept, it's not a bad concept to have. Adamantium bullets to fight Wolverine.
Oh yeah, no, as a concept, yeah. But the fact that it won't kill him, but it'll wipe his memory. Like, really? You know it's going to wipe his memory? Why?
You've got to hit the right parts in the brain. Right. You don't know that you're going to hit the parts in the brain.
It made so much more sense to have the Weapon X process be the thing that wiped his memory or whatever it was than that. And that's the closest to the Luma fate it got for me when I was like, oh, God.
But, and also, his adamantium doesn't heal itself, so wouldn't he have these holes in his skull? They're not protected with the adamantium?
Right, yeah,
Those bits of – it depends on how you think that the – I always thought of it being laced, so I saw like strips of adamantium on his bones. That's how I've always pictured it.
Yeah.
And in this one, it looked like all of his bones were encased in it.
It was bonded or whatever.
But theoretically, you could put a hole in it, but his bone would still heal under it. So
The skull would heal, but it wouldn't be covered with adamantium anymore. You could crack it again.
Yeah, but just that
the
little
thing
bit.
Like in Wolverine, in X-Men 2, he got shot in the forehead and a bullet bounced off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It just but regardless of the physiology of it or the whatever, it was just the fact that that was how they got him to lose his memory. And then
the last third of the film is a big problem. I mean, it goes off the rails once he gets past like Gambit and then really start having big logical leap problems, like the 10-foot swords that come out of Weapon 11's arms.
Yeah, how does he bend his arm? Yeah, how does he bend his arms? Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean that brings a big question. The whole time I was like, I was actually sitting there and I was looking forward to. I was like, well, at least they're going to bring Deadpool back, and that'll be kind of interesting.
But they're not. It wasn't Deadpool.
No, it wasn't.
What ending you had. What ending did you have, Ron?
I had the ending where the arm reaches out to the decapitated head, and the eyes open, and he says, "Shh."
Right? The other two was Wolverine in Japan, and the third one was Deadpool finding Weapon 11's body. So the implication being it wasn't actually Deadpool.
You see, but the thing was that what they did by stitching the mouth and when he shot the optic blast and his eyes went black. Okay, cool. You know, like whatever, fine. They're you know, of course they're, you know, ripping apart this character that all these people love and everything, but that's what these movies do. But I have a
cool moment. We didn't get to this, and I said my favorite moment in the entire movie, the only one where I was like, oh, that was neat, was the first time that when they ripped off Scott Summers' eyeglasses and he blasted a big hole through the school.
Yeah.
Which I believe he did in X-Men 1. But either way,
the exact same shot, actually.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, the train station, yeah.
But I was like, oh, that's a really cool shot. Although Connor then pointed out to me that optic blasts don't flame.
Yeah, they sure. They're energy. Yeah, that's a good point.
They had his blast be like heat vision in the film, which was the one he does anyway. That whole Cyclops and Emma Frost, if that was her name, they never actually called her Emma.
Yeah, they never did. Yeah, I don't think it was Emma.
Is being on the we have the little press handout and they call her Emma in the press handout.
Really?
Being on the poster and like these, she shouldn't have been on the poster. Cyclops shouldn't have been on the poster. Like these are characters.
Yeah,
they put them on the poster specifically for the fans of the characters to go, but like they had no use in the film.
Right.
Cyclops didn't need to be in the film. Emma Frost didn't need to be in the film. It didn't. She was in the film for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's something about it. Just feel. Josh, you made a comment after you saw it to me that where you're saying how it felt like the whole. It felt like you knew it was shot on a soundstage.
Oh, and the whole thing looked very.
Yeah, and what really got to me was the whole New Orleans Gambit. Victor fight where that scream soundstage and like it was just so like and I guess you know and I know they went to some locations and stuff like that but it was just like I don't know it, I felt like that sums it up in terms of the approach to it where they're just you know doing what they need to do to get it done and that you know and the thing was is that like I liked Gambit I liked the use of the staff I liked the use of the playing cards I would have liked maybe a mon ami or maybe just the one little French euphemism but there was nothing but okay that's fine but I just still never understood the implications for the fight and
none.
Yeah, there were
because
there were
what happened was he went in to talk to him. He said, "I need you to take me there," and then automatically Gambit assumes, "Well, you're part of them, so we'll start fighting."
Yeah.
But then as soon as he went out and he saw that Wolverine was fighting with he was never called Sabretooth, but Victor. He should have said, "Well, oh wait a minute, that guy's not with them."
Right.
But he attacked him anyway, and then literally, first of all, he was there so that he could find Victor.
Right. And why was Victor there? Yeah.
He just left. it was a lot of Deus Ex Machina.
And don't get me started on the continuity into the first movie. Is that so? Does Liv Schreiber become Taylor Mayne or Tyler Mayne or whatever? Yeah, yeah.
Because that was the worst part of the first movie. So,
but let's think about the biggest issue, which you guys kind of gave me, told me to look out for, which I totally agree with you now. Do we discuss the jacket?
Oh, the jacket drive me nuts.
Oh, man. So they make this whole big deal about him finding Ma and Pa Kent in Canada, and they're decent people, and in the span of 12 hours, if that, this naked Canadian, hairy Canadian bonds with this old man, and he gives him his dead son's jacket, and it's the iconic Wolverine movie jacket, the leather with the three yellow stripes. Okay, great. So that's how he gets the jacket. Awesome.
Then there's a huge fight at the end with Whippin' 11. And jumps the jacket out of, goes off.
No, he took the jacket off in Gambit's plane. By the way, Gambit has a plane. takes the jacket off in the plane. Like, they show him taking it off.
Yeah, with great care taking it off. Yeah.
And he goes through the whole thing. He loses his memory. He tells Gambit to take off.
Yeah,
he has no way of getting that jacket back.
Right. And yet, in Wolverine, X-Men 1, he's got the jacket on.
How did he get it? Because he doesn't have his memory back.
Unless Gambit finds him at some point in between the time, is like
anonymously gives him the jacket.
You look cold. You know what I mean?
as soon as I saw that when he took the jacket off in the plane, it drove me nuts. I was like, oh god.
Well, at the end, I thought maybe he'll give him the jacket back.
Yeah, it's
I know that's so nitpicky, but those are the kind of things that always drive me nuts. Like in movies when people don't shut a door in behind them. I'm like,
yeah, they never shut the doors.
Well,
never.
I've also got a and this is an annoying nitpick, but I've got a continuity nitpick in that Wolverine's hair length varied widely from shot to shot in the same scene. It was mainly noticeable in the last scene at the 3 Mile Island, I guess. When he was inside with Stryker and everything, he had just a head of hair. And then when they got outside, there was much less hair.
That's reshoots for you. There's a lot of reshoots for this film.
Yeah, exactly. And,
The thing about Wolverine's hair is that in the films, the X-Men films, he had the stylized hair. And then this one was just like, grow your hair real big.
Yeah, exactly,
And just have a big head of hair. But it was like, it was just, you know, he didn't have the look.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one question. When did this movie take place?
Before X-Men 1?
No, like what?
Yeah. Well, okay, so think about it this way, right? So if we're going to say X-Men 1, let's say for argument's sake, takes place in 2000 when it came out, right? And Cyclops now becomes your key. So Cyclops is what, 25 in that movie?
Not even. He was in high school.
No. He was older in high school. In X-Men, I'm saying.
28, somewhere in there.
Yes, so let's say 28 then. Okay, so he's in high school in this movie, so he's 15. Like what, 16, 17? So let's say 10 years ago. So it takes place in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and in those 10 years, both Professor Xavier becomes a cripple, as well as hair goes gray. Like I feel you're right. I feel as if the timing is way way off, and that they made it. They wanted it to be really really old, but then if you try to make sense, it doesn't make sense.
Well, here's the thing. By calling it X-Men Origin, I felt the things I realize it's a completely different movie and it's an entirely different kind of budget. But like going back and telling his life story would have been much more interesting than just what happened at the very end.
Yeah.
Because all of these things happen, and like in the first segment at the beginning where, you know, he fought in the Civil War. By the way, he's Canadian, not American, and the Canada was aligned with the South. I believe for the most part. And then they skipped way ahead to World War I because there was no wars in between. Why was he in all those wars? What was happening?
Yeah.
Why was he in America?
Victor had a bloodlust and he wanted to be in wars and he brought his brother with him. And that was pretty clear from the whole thing. He dragged him along from one war to another because he liked killing.
Yeah.
I guess. But then they show up
from the comics. He's been an American soldier in a lot of the comics too.
He's kind of a good soldier, so that's he kind of works forever. You know, like he usually tries to be on the side of the good. So I guess there's a assumption there that the North was in the right. I guess. I mean, yeah,
it's a fine assumption. But you know, like he could have fought for Canada in World War II. Like that would have happened. And then what happens is you end up in the Canadian Rockies somewhere, and all the cars are leading me to believe it's in the late 60s, 70s sometime.
At some point,
somebody showed up with a super tech, like, machine gun. And I was like, oh, well, so it is.
There's your time gap, because what happened was is that he was in Vietnam, right? And then who knows when he walked away from Stryker's team. That was after Vietnam, so that's safe to say it's in the 70s. And so we find him in the Rockies 6 years later. So safe to say maybe that's like 19. So this takes place in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems to make sense, except that Cyclops is 16. Right. And, you know, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe he was 40 in the first X-Men movie. He's just very young.
Why is the X-Men movie taking place in 2000? You don't need to. And this is just kind of silly to begin with because it's comic time. It's movie time. Technology can be whatever they want it to be whenever they want it to be.
It feels like when you make it real like this, I want it to make sense. I want somebody to plot out a timeline that exists even in the background of them doing the script so that it makes sense to me.
Yeah, but like, obviously they didn't care about that. They're just doing what looks cool. So
yeah. Here's something. This is tiny. So Agent Zero, he's apparently very good at taking guns out of his holster and shooting things.
Yes.
So then they go to take off after Wolverine, and he gets in a helicopter, and he has the regular grunt soldiers shooting at him who miss all over the place. I'm like, why don't you just shoot him from there?
Right.
Well, why don't you take the gun? Right. Why don't you do it then? And I'm just it's one of those things like when they get to – sometimes when they do superhero movies, like they discount the people's powers.
Right.
When they should be using them in some cool way. But they just wanted Wolverine to jump up and take a helicopter down, I guess.
After turning around on the motorcycle while dragging his claws on the pavement.
By the way, and that jacket survived the fall. It's an amazing jacket.
It's a good jacket. It's a really good jacket.
It's a really good jacket.
Here's what I think happened is that Wolverine can't remember anything, right? Logan's like, I don't remember anything. But he remembers the jacket. And so he spends a good 10 years hunting down the jacket.
Right, exactly, training. And then he finds Gambit. Gambit's been wearing it. He's like, that's my jacket, bub. Oh, man.
Do I know you? I don't know.
Jeez.
I've got a headache.
Admittedly, I groaned at the Blob.
I didn't think the Blob was that bad.
Just
but again, he was there for 2 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
Characters did anything worthwhile.
Yeah.
And it was just to be in the movie.
His power was different as the Blob.
Oh yeah, no, the power in the comics is that he's fat and he's immovable.
Right.
And this one, it just seems like he was really strong and then he got fat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And then who's William? I don't know how to say that name.
He's Wraith.
He's Wraith. Yeah, but is that an actual character? Or?
You're
asking us.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Right. I could be wrong, but
he's a teleporter like Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. Yeah.
But Dominic Monaghan was like Arcade, right?
No, Arcade is whatchamacallit? Arcade is he's the crazy redhead guy who makes the traps for them to go through and all that kind of deal. Yeah.
Well, then he was Mayor Hundred. But either way,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was Mayor Hundred.
You know, it's funny. I think the thing that kept occurring to me was I have no real connection to the comic stories that are made before this. So if they use them or not, that's fine. But if the stories that already existed are better than what you just came up with.
I love this. I just looked up Wraith. All right. So Wraith appeared in Marvel Team-Up in 1976. And he was a Spider-Man character. And he's got there are two Wraiths. I'm sorry. This is the first one. Has a variety of psionic powers, could read thoughts, mind control. And then Wraith, Hector Rendoza is a mutant. Okay, here he goes. A mutant by Scott Lobdell. And doesn't say what his power is. Gene theorized that his powers have been allowed to evolve, who've been able to render himself and others completely invisible. So they just took the name.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, good for Scott.
Yeah. Wraith can turn his skin translucent or other skin translucent.
If it's just a skin, then what's the point? Then you just see a bunch of muscles running around.
Yeah, so they made him I know, exactly. So, anyway. Yeah.
That guy's got no skin.
I mean, like, again, I think that they mined all this data. They mined all these characters and all this kind of stuff, and they just took what they liked.
It was just a random collection of moments.
Yeah, exactly.
That they thought, well, this will make a lot of people happy. Maybe they sell a lot of action figures. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't. It almost in its averageness and its giant.
It was
massive,
very average.
It's kind of almost worse.
Yeah,
because especially like if you're watching it like us and you have to go talk about it, like you start looking at it and you have to think about it. And the second you think about it, air goes right out of the balloon.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's why I said it was what I expected. I mean, it was an action packed scene with bubs and I'm the best at what I do and claws in the ground and no real. You know, and then the thing is that like, had there not been the adamantium bullet solution, I probably would have been speaking higher of it because it was so exactly what I expected. Lots of fights, lots of action, that sort of thing. But the moment that they chickened out on the whole origin aspect of it, just kind of blew it for me. I mean, I think that was the big, you know, like they painted themselves into a corner because they wanted to give him the adamantium to make him want revenge. But then they're like, well, shit, at the end of the movie, he needs to be amnesiac. So, you know.
So none of it mattered anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Also, if I never see CGI Patrick Stewart again,
oh, it'll be too soon. Yeah, oh, no. Oh, God.
Smooth babyface alien Professor X.
creepy. Like, would you go with that guy? I know you've been trapped in a cell, but like,
it's all hologram anyway. It didn't look real.
Yeah. Hmm. Did they really get Patrick Stewart to do the voice and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess they got the voice, but I don't think that they shot him doing anything. I think they construct. I don't know. That's what I would guess.
That's so creepy. Ever since Ratner introduced that, it's been giving me nightmares.
Yeah. I think the three endings thing was stupid.
Yep.
The way that they had different endings, they should have just gone with the. I mean, they should have just gone with the Deadpool ending. Just had him be alive and say, you know, because I know they're talking about spitting him off, and I actually liked him, and I liked his sword fighting, the bullet scene. That was actually cool, but. The gimmick of having, oh, well, there's different post credit scenes. If you saw the film on the internet, you got to see these scenes. It was kind of stupid.
It's literally, you know? 90s comics.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like alternate variant covers.
Yeah.
Some in premium.
I did laugh, Connor, at the guy in Africa that they went after for the piece of adamantium or whatever. That it was the guy from 24.
Yes.
I was like, oh, that poor guy. He's the African militant now for the rest of his career.
He's an African despot forever.
Yeah, Dubaku or whatever is there.
It's like that poor guy who has to keep playing an LA gang member, or the other guy who's always an Al Qaeda terrorist.
Exactly.
The guy is always Hitler.
Yeah, the guy's always Hitler. I love Hitler. I mean, you know,
what do you do? I'm Hitler.
For those who aren't in on the joke, if you go to IMDb and look up Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and find the actor who played Hitler and then look at his profile, he has made a career playing Hitler and other various Nazis for his entire career. Like, it's just
it's like that guy who was Saddam Hussein in the
Hot Shots movies. Or
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. God. Wow. All right. Well, we've disintegrated. Yeah. So I think we're all running out average. Not the worst movie in the world, but by no means is it what Watchmen was supposed to be.
Worth seeing again.
Yeah, exactly. I'll buy the DVD.
Of course you will.
Well, you have X. You own three. X.
Yeah, I know. I haven't opened it yet, though, but I do own it.
They have your money.
They opened your money. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Well, and I look forward to Wolverine Origins 2, the saga, the hunt for the jacket.
I'd watch that movie.
I would, totally.
I would totally go to that.
You do an entire movie of Wolverine looking for it. All he can remember are the three yellow stripes.
It's like there's a girl, and he's like real quiet, leaning over with shirtless, and she's got his hand on her shoulder. He's like, what is it? The jacket! And then the camera goes way up in the air, and he goes, ah!
And then there's a whole montage in L.A., like in Beverly Hills, in the store, to set to music, trying on other jackets, and he's got somebody with him, he comes out of the room, and they just shake their head no, and he spins, he twirls.
He does a little pose, he reads his watch.
Comes out one that looks kind of nice, and the person raises their eyebrows slightly, hopefully, and he goes, no. And he just shrugs.
Exactly. We've been to every store on Rodeo Drive, and I can't find this jacket.
A lot of saxophone music being played in the background.
Oh, man.
Can't wait till the special edition podcast.
I'd see that movie.
All right, well, until next time, which will be Star Trek.
Yes.
It's We're iFanboy. I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
I am Josh. Go to iFanboy.com and comment on this show.
Yes, please.